If you have your Bibles, turn with me please to our text this morning, Genesis chapter 12 and verses 1 through 3. A word about not only what's going on with Israel, but about how America is supposed to respond to it. Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 to 3. The Lord had said to Abraham, "Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." And let's pray. Lord, every single one of us sees today everything that's going on in the nation of Israel, in Israel, and the reaction all over the world. And I pray you just teach us this morning, Lord, how much we need to be a blessing still to the nation of Israel and the Jewish people. Pray you'd come to us now by the power of the Holy Spirit and open your word and teach us from it exactly what it is you want us to know. We ask us in all this in your name. Amen. Let me ask you this morning, a decision every single person needs to make. Are you going to be for Israel and be blessed? Or are you going to be against Israel, which means you're going to be cursed? Last March at the Oscar ceremonies, actor Mark Ruffalo, who played the Incredible Hulk, and pop singer Billie Eilish and a bunch of other A-listers showed up wearing a strange-looking red pin with a black heart in the middle of it, made by an outfit called Artists for Ceasefire. And what did that stand for? Well, back in 2000, two Israeli soldiers, IDF soldiers in Israel, took a wrong turn and accidentally went into Gaza at Ramallah and were arrested by Palestinian police and put in jail. And then were brutally murdered in their cell by two demonic Muslim goons. And then in a picture that went viral all over the Muslim world, one of the killers raised his hand covered with the blood of those Jewish soldiers. So it's called the Bloody Hand of Resistance pin. People, what in the world kind of psychopath wears a pin that celebrates Palestinians murdering Jews? They do. So when it comes to supporting Israel or not and being blessed or cursed, they already made their choice. They already made their decision. And the text we have in front of us this morning tells us today we need to make ours. We turn today to Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 to 3. In this part of Genesis chapter 12, God is prophesying that every single person in the whole wide world, all times, all places, needs to make a decision and choose up sides when it comes to the nation of Israel and the Jewish people. And our text today tells us what those two sides are. You can bless Israel and be blessed, or you can curse Israel and be cursed. And the Holy Spirit is telling us today, we need to wise up and make the right decision so we can make sure we're on the right side with God. Our text this morning, Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 to 3, tells us three things that we need to understand about Israel in order to make that decision for blessings or curses. And let's look and see what those three things are. The first thing we see from this text, the first thing we need to understand about Israel to make that decision is Israel's relationship with God. And that is exactly what we see here in verse 3. Now, God is promising Abraham here that he would bless him and multiply his descendants and make him a great nation. But that promise also came with either blessings or curses to other people, depending on how they treated them. And I know somebody's hearing this. You say, well, Kevin, the promise, that just applied to Abraham and his family and his own day. Oh, Genesis chapter 27, verse 29. Numbers chapter 24, verse 9. The exact same promise centuries later, which meant that promise was still in effect after Israel became a nation. You say, but Kevin, you got to know biblical Hebrew to know what it really says. I do know biblical Hebrew, and that is what it really says. Vadi Bauckham said this. The promise in Genesis chapter 12, verse 3 is only for the old people of Israel in the land of Canaan under the old covenant and not for the nation of Israel today. But my question is, do you see an expiration date here on this promise like a carton of eggs? No, which means that promise is still in effect today, which means that those who bless Israel will still be blessed. Those who curse Israel will still be cursed. Do we see the relationship that Israel still has with God? And the problem is, all the theologically challenged Christians today who want to claim that Israel doesn't have a right relationship with God at all anymore. You get your theology wrong, you get Israel wrong. And it all starts with a stupid idea called preterism. That all end times prophecy in the Bible was fulfilled 2,000 years ago when the Romans destroyed the city of Jerusalem in 70 AD. So rapture? No. Great tribulation? No. Battle of Gog and Magog? No. You don't have to worry about any of that stuff because it was already fulfilled. The end isn't coming because it already happened. famous preacher R.C. Sproul was a preterist. And folks, preterism is crazy because where in the Bible does it say that? The Antichrist, Mark of the Beast, Jesus Christ coming down out of heaven on a white horse. Did that happen back in 70 A.D.? Absolutely not. Folks, if all end times prophecy in the Bible was fulfilled 2,000 years ago, what kind of hope do we Christians have in the absolute mess that we're in right now? Absolutely none. Preterism is a joke. And folks, if there's no end times, that means there's no millennium. After the Battle of Armageddon, when Jesus reigns and rules out of Jerusalem over the whole wide world for 1,000 years. I'm a Zionist because Jesus is a Zionist. And there's three different opinions about the millennium. Premillennialism says that Jesus comes before the 1,000 years even starts. Postmillennialism says that Jesus doesn't come until after the 1,000 years are over and the church cleans up the world, which is absolutely ridiculous because, folks, if we're waiting for Jesus to come back until the church cleans up the world with gay pastors and drag queen children's sermons, Jesus ain't never coming back at all because the church is not cleaning up the world. The church is becoming the world. And then there's amillennialism. Most of your mainliners and your Catholics are amillennial. Vadi Bachum and Alistair Begg are amillennial. So Alistair Begg's not only wrong about gay weddings, he's also wrong about the end times. Amillennialism says the millennium is happening right now. That Jesus is reigning in the world and the devil is bound right now. Have you taken a look around and see what's going on in the world now? Folks, if the devil is bound right now, he's got to be better at getting out of chains than Harry Houdini. And the problem is, the millennium is when a lot of the promises that God gives to the Jewish people in the Old Testament are going to be fulfilled. Thousands of them. One of the promises is the promised land. The picture you see on the screen is all the territory that God originally gave to the Jewish people. And at no time in their history did they ever possess all that territory. Not even during the days, the glory days of David and Solomon. But during the millennium they will. And what about all the hundreds and hundreds of promises God gives the Jewish people in the Old Testament about restoring the kingdom of Israel during the millennium? Well, see, heretics have an answer for that too. It's called replacement theology. The silly idea that Christians have replaced the Jews and the church has replaced Israel in God's purposes and plans for the last days. So when the Jews rejected Jesus, God turned his back on the Jewish people forever and took all the promises that God made to the Jews in the Old Testament, spiritualized them, whatever in the world that means, and then transferred them to the church. But the question is, again, where do you see that in the Bible? Israel is not the church, people. And the promises that God made to Israel were not transferred to the church. The church was never given a land like Israel was. The church never sinned against God and was exiled from the land like Israel was. The church never repented and was returned to the land like Israel was. The church is not Israel. They're two totally separate things. Martin Luther was replacement theology. And because of that, Martin Luther hated the Jewish people with a purple prickly pear passion. And look at the damage that it did. Adolf Hitler read every single dirty word Martin Luther ever wrote about the Jews, and it led directly to the concentration camps in World War II. Adolf Hitler was replacement theology. And folks, right, replacement theology is contrary to God's word. Leviticus chapter 26, verse 44, God says, I will never reject my people, and I will never forget the covenant that I have made with them, ever. Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 36, God says, Israel will never cease to be a nation before me, ever. And Jeremiah 31, verse 37, God says, I will never reject my people, no matter what they have done. No matter what they've done. And why? Because God's covenant with Israel is unconditional, which means it's not based on Israel's performance. It's only based on God's grace. Once and for all, Romans chapter 11, verse 1, Paul says, has God rejected his people, the Jewish people? And the answer is by no means, absolutely not. So all you replacement theology people who email me every single time I talk about Israel and Bible prophecy, for crying out loud, do you believe the Bible or not? Amen. God is not done with Israel, folks. And everything that's happening in Israel right now is God's agenda for the last days, just exactly like the Bible says. Well, Kevin, you just believe in premillennial dispensationalism. No, it's called the truth, because that's exactly what the Bible says. Let me ask you, If replacement theology is true, if God really did break his promises to the Jewish people, what in the world kind of confidence do you have that God won't break his promises to you? Well, Kevin, the vast majority of Jewish people aren't saved. Not yet. When the Jewish people rejected Jesus, God hit the pause button on the Jews and started the church. So now, Romans chapter 11, verse 25, Israel is experiencing a hardening until the full number of Gentiles get saved. Then after the rapture, right at the start of the Great Tribulation, God will hit the play button again and deal with the Jewish people throughout the rest of the Great Tribulation, throughout the rest of the end times. And then that number, that Jewish remnant that's supposed to, will get saved just exactly like God says, Romans chapter 11, verse 5. What in the world is so hard to understand about that? Israel still has a relationship with God, and because of that, those who bless Israel will still be blessed, those who curse Israel will still be cursed. And don't tell me those exact same terms and conditions still don't apply today, and especially to America. When President Donald Trump was in office, 2016 to 2020, he did all kinds of things that blessed the nation of Israel. He was the first U.S. president to ever formally acknowledge that Jerusalem was the capital of Israel. He moved the U.S. embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. He stopped giving money to the Palestinians, money that Hamas was taking and using to fund terrorism. President Donald Trump was the first U.S. president to ever pray at the Western Wall. I can go on and on. Blessings. And what was the result? Greatest economy in the history of the whole wide world. There was relative peace all over the planet, and gas was $1.87 a gallon. Blessings. But when Joe Biden took office, January 2021, he started doing things to curse the nation of Israel. He started talking about the two-state solution. He resurrected Barack Obama's stupid Iran nuke deal. He started giving money back to the Palestinians so Hamas could use it to fund terrorism. I could go on and on. And what's been the result? Inflation is through the roof. You got wars and rumors of wars right now as far as the eyes can see. And one out of five Generation Z doesn't know they're a boy or a girl. Curses. And why? Because those who bless Israel will be blessed. Those who curse Israel will be cursed. Last February the 5th, Joe Biden demanded that Israel create a Palestinian state. That same day, there was record snowfall in the Sierra Nevadas in California, and two atmospheric rivers melted it all, and all of Southern California was under a state of emergency with the worst flooding in California history. Last Thursday, April the 4th, Joe Biden told Benjamin Netanyahu if the United States was going to continue to support Israel's war with Gaza, Israel had to agree to an immediate ceasefire. The very next day, April the 5th, a 4-point magnitude earthquake rocked New Jersey and New York and the entire Northeast all the way to Philadelphia, the biggest earthquake in New England in over 150 years. Last Friday, May the 3rd, Secretary of State Tony Blinken was in the Middle East telling Israel they couldn't beat Hamas and needed to surrender and go two-state solution. That very same night, 35 different tornadoes in Oklahoma, one of them absolutely destroyed a town called Barnesdall, 40 miles north of Tulsa. Just this past Tuesday, May the 6th, Joe Biden withheld all kinds of weapons and munitions that Congress had already approved to send to Israel because he didn't want IDF going into Rafah where the terrorists were. That exact same day, a storm front that stretched all the way from Michigan to Tennessee produced 8 monster tornadoes that destroyed hundreds and hundreds of homes and businesses, clear from Kalamazoo to Knoxville. Last March the 25th, the UN Security Council was debating a resolution that was calling for an immediate ceasefire between Israel and Hamas in Gaza. And something that hardly ever happens, the U.S. ambassador to the United Nations abstained from voting and would not affirm Israel's right to keep fighting Hamas to wipe out the terrorists. 12 hours later, that happened. A huge cargo ship from Singapore seemingly loses power, crashes into a pylon, and wipes out the entire 1.6 mile long Francis Scott Key Bridge in Baltimore, Maryland. People, I could go on and on and on, because those are just the most recent examples just from the last couple of months. And what's the lesson? You don't tug on Superman's cape. You don't spit in the wind. You don't pull the mask off the old Lone Ranger. And Zechariah chapter 2, verse 8, you do not stick your thumb in Israel, the apple of God's eye. And why? Because Israel still has a relationship with God. And because of that, those who bless Israel will still be blessed. Those who curse Israel will still be cursed. Now, all the heretics and all the people who get their theology from the internet instead of the Bible have already made their choice. They've already made their decision about Israel. Question is this morning, what's your decision going to be? First thing we need to understand about Israel in order to make that decision is Israel's relationship with God. We go on in this text, we see a second thing. A second thing we need to understand about Israel to make that decision. Not only Israel's relationship with God, but also Israel's reputation in the world. And that's also what we see here in verse 3. And because of all the hate Israel protests on college campuses right now, Israel's reputation is trash. And the crazy thing is, a lot of the protesters don't even have a clue why.
And what would you say is the main goal with tonight's protest?
I think the goal is just showing our support for Palestine, demanding that NYU stops. I honestly don't know all of what NYU's doing.
Is there something that NYU's doing?
I really don't know. I'm pretty sure they're... Do you know what NYU's doing?
About what?
About Israel. Why are we protesting here?
Palestine will be free!
I wish I was more educated.
I'm not either.
Here's a couple of others.
From the mountains to the sea.
That's right.
From the mountains to the sea?
From the mountains to the sea?
Yeah.
Which mountains? You don't know, eh?
From the river to the sea, Palestine needs to be free from the occupation, which is illegal.
What's the river?
I forgot the river's name. But the sea is the Red Sea.
So where is the river and the sea that everybody's chanting about?
I think it's the Black Sea and the river on the other side of Gaza.
There is no river outside of Gaza. Protesters at the University of Ottawa in Canada spray painted that sign last week. They don't even know how to spell Palestine. So much for your institutions of higher learning. A lot of the protesters are just bedwetting soy boys.
You're hurting me!
Just go live.
They're hurting me! Ow! 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 Help! Help! Ow! They're hurting me!
Little Jihad Joes and Jihad Janes wearing their Kifa Halloween costumes, dressing up like genocidal Muslim barbarians who gut people like deer and put little babies in ovens. Pretending that their compounds are actual Palestine, not realizing that in real Palestine, with their green hair and their pronouns, they'd be the first ones beheaded. It's all about trash in Israel. And where in the world is all this coming from? It's coming from the very same woke, progressive claptrap that's taught in those very same colleges. It's all about intersectionality and DEI and Marxism that divides people between the oppressors and the oppressed, and critical race theory that sees white supremacy under every rock and behind every tree and says because all the Jews in Israel are white and the Palestinians aren't, the Jews automatically have to be oppressing the Palestinian people, which is crazy because over half the Jews in Israel today aren't white at all. And the media keeps telling us, oh, the movement is spreading, it's spreading. Yeah, it's spreading because it's organized too. Like groups with Students for Justice in Palestine. That's funded by George Soros, who has dedicated his entire life to destroying America. Notice all the pop-up tents on all the college campuses and all the compounds all over America. Notice how they all look alike. They're all the same kind, all exactly the same color. Somebody is supplying those. And funny, see all the mugshots of the protesters who were arrested in California? And in New York City and down in Austin, Texas, University of Texas. Notice how old and long in the tooth they look. And you know why? Because they're not even students. The vast majority of the protesters we see on college campuses right now aren't students. They're professional goon squad agitators. They're specifically paid to get kids to buy into the communists take over this country and drink all the Kool-Aid and turn them into good little useful idiots like Vladimir Lenin called them. You see that Muslim imam converting all the protesters to Islam and leading them all in Muslim prayers, UCLA University?
Now what?
These protests are one of the greatest recruiting tools for Islam since 9/11. They're doing exactly the same thing, Northwestern University of Chicago. And how much are moms and dads paying there to have their kids brainwashed into Marxist Islamofascism? That would be $89,644 per year. Israel has a bad reputation because people don't have a clue what's really going on in Israel. Israel's apartheid government is oppressing the Palestinian people. No, the Palestinians have their own governments that they voted for and elected themselves. 2005, the Palestinians in the West Bank elected the Palestinian Authority as their government. 2007, Palestinians in Gaza elected Hamas terrorists as their government. So the Palestinians aren't being oppressed by the Israeli government. They're being oppressed by their own governments. Because instead of those governments trying to take care of those people, all they want to do is kill Jews. And I know somebody's hearing you should say, well, Kevin, don't you care about the Palestinians at all that are suffering in that war in Gaza? Absolutely I do. Just like I feel sorry for the Germans who were caught in the Battle of Berlin in 1945. It's absolutely heartbreaking. But here's the thing. The German people allowed Adolf Hitler to come to power. Just like the Palestinians in Gaza allowed Hamas to come to power. And now they're paying for it in spades. You say, well, Kevin, what do you in Fox River care about Palestinians and Muslims in the Middle East? Let me ask you a question. How much money does your church give every year to evangelize Palestinians and Muslims in the Middle East? Because my church gives a ton. My church even pays to feed Palestinian children through churches on the border with Gaza. Say whatever you want about Fox River Church. This congregation puts its money where its mouth is, and we got the receipts. I hear this from people all the time, from Christians. Well, Kevin, Israel isn't really a nation. Seriously? Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 36, Israel will never cease to be a nation before me. The word is goy, and yes, it does mean nation. Next. Well, Kevin, the Jewish people don't need their own nation. 1939, before World War II, there were 16 million Jews in the entire world, most of them scattered nations in Europe. And when Adolf Hitler brought the knives out, not one single country anywhere in the world would take them in. Not one. And because of that, 6 million of those Jews got exterminated in the Holocaust because there was no safe place to go. So 1948, the United Nations gave them their own country, the exact same country that God gave them thousands and thousands of years ago, so that something like that would never happen again. Israel is the only Jewish nation in the entire world. And the map you see there on the screen shows how minuscule the nation of Israel is in the entire Arab Muslim Middle East. 22 Arab Muslim countries. 500 million Arabs in that part of the world. 2 billion Muslims in the world. And there's still only 16 million Jews in the world. And over half of them live in that little red dot. The nation of Israel is a tiny, tiny pinhole of light in an ocean of Islamic darkness and paganism and demonism and totalitarianism. Do not tell me the Jewish people don't need their own nation. Amen. And I hear this from Christians all the time. Well, Kevin, the Israel of today is not the same as Israel of the Old Testament. Well, of course not, because today is thousands of years later. But Kevin, the genetic makeup of the Jewish people in Israel today is not the same as the genetic makeup of the people in Israel back in Bible times. Well, of course not. Because the modern nation of Israel is only 76 years old. And Jews from all over the world, countries all over the world, have come to the modern nation of Israel to live and survive. And my question is, so what? The genetic makeup of Americans today in 2024 is a lot different than the genetic makeup of Americans back in 1776. But here's the thing, they're still Americans. So even if the genetic makeup of Jews today is different than the genetic makeup of Jews back when Israel started back in Bible time, they're still descendants of Abraham, they're still the Jewish people. Amen. The people in Israel today are still God's chosen people. I know I'm going to get emails about that. And I know somebody's hearing this. You say, well, Kevin, God's chosen people don't act like God's chosen people today. Do tell. One out of five Jews in Israel today identifies as an atheist. The conservative Orthodox government in Israel 2 years ago tried to ban Christian evangelism in that country. Tel Aviv today is the sodomite capital of the world. Every single hospital in Israel today does late-term partial birth abortions. When Jews in Israel do math, When they add numbers together, they use a sign of an upside down T. They don't use a plus sign because a plus sign would remind them of the Christian cross. I could go on and on. Folks, supporting Israel does not mean we support everything that Israel does, and it does not mean we agree that with everything that Israel does. And I know somebody's hearing this. You say, well, Kevin, why in the world do you still support him? Because I can read Genesis chapter 12, verse 3. Those who bless Israel will be blessed, and those who curse Israel will be cursed. And Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 37, God will never reject his people regardless of what they have done. And Israel becoming a nation again in 1948 after being dead as a doornail for 1900 years and coming back to the same land with the same faith and the same God and the same language is one of the greatest proofs that the Bible is true. It's one of the greatest proofs that there's a God. I support the nation of Israel because John chapter 4 verse 22. Salvation is of the Jews. Christians, they didn't get grafted into us. We got grafted into them. And it was Jewish scriptures and a Jewish Bible and Jewish prophets and Jewish disciples and a Jewish Messiah that's going to save my sorry rear end from hell. That's why I support Israel. Amen. Do we understand? Do we have any idea how much we owe the Jewish people? Everybody's heard about the founding fathers, George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, James Madison. How many people realize those fathers wouldn't have found a diddly squat if it wasn't for a Jew named Chaim Salomon? Chaim Salomon was born in Poland, 1740, the son of an Orthodox Jewish rabbi. Came to America, New York City with his family in 1775, right before the start of the Revolutionary War, and immediately became a patriot. And immediately became a member of the Sons of Liberty. And took part in all kinds of protests against the British. Even burning down houses that British soldiers were supposed to be bivouacked in Brooklyn Heights. And Chaim Salomon had an incredible gift with money. So he immediately started a bank and started making a killing doing currency exchange with all the foreign companies that traded in New York City from all over the world. And after America declared her independence, he got to be good friends with Robert Morris, who was appointed Secretary of the Treasury for the colonies. And Robert Morris used Chaim Salomon to get all kinds of loans from France and Spain and Sweden because it's one thing to fight a war. It's another thing to have to pay for it. And the U.S. Treasury was always as bare as Mother Hubbard's cupboard. So even though it was Robert Morris signing the checks, it was Chaim Salomon that was ponying up the money, most of it from his own accounts. 1778, Chaim Salomon got arrested by the British for being a spy. And he got put in a slimy prison where he caught tuberculosis. And they were going to execute him. But amazingly, miraculously, he got away and escaped with his family to Philadelphia, where he started another bank. And started making even more money and donating even more money for the war. September 1781, the battle that would end the Revolutionary War was hanging in the balance because the Continental Army had a chance to trap British General Cornwallis at Yorktown, Virginia, with the French fleet blocking his escape on the James River from the rear. And all George Washington had to do was get his 8,000-man army to Yorktown to block the British from the front. But Washington's troops were starving and hadn't been paid in months and were ready to go AWOL. And when Robert Morris told him the government had no money to resupply them, Washington said, "Get me Chaim Salomon." Less than 2 days later, Chaim Salomon had raised over $20,000 to pay and feed and resupply Washington's men. So the Continental Army went to Yorktown and the war was over. From 1776 to 1781, Chaim Salomon loaned the U.S. government from his own pocket $600,000 to keep the country from going belly up. And without Chaim Salomon, my country, tis of thee, would have never gotten off the ground.
Amen. That's right.
After the war, Chaim Salomon's tuberculosis just kept getting worse and worse. And he started going bankrupt because all of his investments and overs in Europe went belly up because of the French Revolution. Chaim Salomon had to file bankruptcy because not one single penny he ever loaned the federal government for the Revolutionary War was ever repaid to him. January 6th, 1784, Chaim Salomon died of tuberculosis in debtor's prison in Philadelphia at the age of 44 and was buried in an unmarked grave because his family did not even have enough money to buy him a tombstone. All told, Chaim Salomon collected from other sources and contributed from his own pocket $25 million for the American Revolution. That's $690 million in today's money. If that money had been given to him while he was still alive, except for the kings of Europe, he'd have been the richest man in the whole wide world.
That's right.
Without Chaim Soloman, we'd have never won the revolution. America today would not be here. And yet, what did he ever get back from this country for doing those things for him? After Chaim Soloman died, his family petitioned for repayment of that $600,000 loan. But somehow the documentation got mysteriously lost. Later years, House and Senate both agreed that Chaim Soloman should be paid back for the money that he loaned the government for the Revolutionary War. But Congress took no action to make sure it ever happened. Late 1890s, his family agreed to settle for $100,000. Just 1/6 of the total money that he was owed. And again, it was approved by Congress, but the check was never written. 1893, Congress moved to have a gold medal struck in Chaim Soloman's honor. That was never done either. Finally, 1941, they put up a statue of George Washington with Chaim Soloman and Robert Morris on Wacker Drive in Chicago. But nobody paid attention to it because they dedicated that statue December 15, 1941, just a week after the Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor. He deserved better, people. That Jewish guy sacrificed literally his entire life and every single penny he had for the founding of this country and for the freedom that you and I have today. And the only thing he got back for was what the little boy shot at and missed, which is nothing. And yet this is what Chaim Soloman said about giving to the cause. I know that I have given even beyond my means, but I know I must give again because it is not just charity. It is an offering to the cause of liberty, a cause sacred to me above all others and worth more than all the money in the entire world. And for liberty, I will gladly sacrifice and give even more than all I have. Well, what do you know? Finally, years later, 1937. When the design for the back of the $1 bill was finalized, they put 13 stars above the Liberty Eagle. 13 stars standing for the original 13 colonies. And whether the designers realized it or not, what pattern, what shape do those 13 stars make on the back of the $1 bill still there? They make the pattern of the Mogen David, the Star of David, the symbol for the Jewish faith. The star on the Israeli flag. God giving a nod to the Jewish people. Because without the Jewish people, America would not exist. Abraham Lincoln said this. The Jews are God's chosen people, and Americans are God's almost chosen people, because Americans needed the real chosen people for the founding and the survival of this country. Folks, the vast majority of people in our world today have already made their choice. They've already made their decision. They think Israel's got a deserved bad reputation, and Israel needs to be destroyed. Question is this morning, what's your decision going to be? The second thing we need to understand about Israel in order to make this decision is Israel's reputation in the world. We go on in this text, we see a third thing. A third thing we need to understand about Israel to make this decision. Not only Israel's relationship with God, not only Israel's reputation with the world, but third, Israel's relationship to America. And that's also what we notice here in verse 3. And throughout the history of our country, America's relationship with Israel and the Jewish people has always been a mixed bag. Car tycoon Henry Ford absolutely hated Jewish people and donated millions and millions of dollars to Adolf Hitler to build Nazi Germany. So much money, 1937, Adolf Hitler actually gave him something called the Iron Eagle, the highest honor, the highest award that Nazi Germany could give to a foreigner. President FDR hated Jewish people and kept hundreds of thousands of Jews from coming to America before World War II. And because of that, most of those Jews ended up in the concentration camps and the gas chambers in Eastern Europe. But then there's President Harry S. Truman. President Harry S. Truman never went to college, but he was raised a good Baptist and remembered what he was taught in Sunday school. So May 14, 1948, when the Jewish people declared their independence, Harry S. Truman bucked all the anti-Semitism, even in his own administration, and became the first world leader to officially acknowledge Israel as a nation 11 minutes after she declared. And America was blessed for the next 60 years or so because of it. But all that blessing started crashing down with an anti-Semite named Barack Obama. September 4, 2013, President Barack Obama purposely had his picture taken in the Oval Office with his feet and his shoes up on his desk while talking to Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. In case you don't know, Middle Eastern culture, anything that has to do with your feet is considered unclean. And to show somebody your shoes, especially the bottoms, is a horrible insult. Barack Obama broadcasting to the entire Muslim world how much he hated Israel and Benjamin Netanyahu. And under Joe Biden, the Jew hate's just gotten worse. Iran right now is the number one sponsor of Islamic terrorism all over the world. Iran calls Israel little Satan. They call America big Satan. Iranian schools have American and Israeli flags on the floor so little kids can walk on them all day long. They celebrate Death to Israel and Death to America Day every single year. And right now, Iran is bankrolling and backing every single terrorist group that's attacking Israel from all sides. But in spite of all of that, Joe Biden says, hey, let's give them $80 billion and help them get nuclear missiles. People that are so stupid, it's got to be on purpose. And right now, Joe Biden is bragging that he's withheld those weapons and those munitions and the bombs from Israel that Congress approved to go to Israel because the IDF supposedly crossed the red line that he drew and went into Rafah. And do you know why he's doing that? Because there are millions and millions of radical Muslims in America today brought here by President Barack Obama who will not vote for Joe Biden this coming November if he doesn't slam Israel. There's a bunch of those radical Muslims at a pro-Palestinian rally at Little Fallujah, Dearborn, Michigan, just last month. And listen to what they're saying.
El Monte Africa!
El Monte Africa!
El Monte Africa!
El Monte Africa!
Chanting death to America on our soil. Joe Biden throwing Israel under the bus because he needs the votes of people who chant death to America. God help us people, do we need Donald Trump in the White House? Psalm chapter 22, verse 6, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And then the second half of that verse that nobody ever remembers, may those who love you be secure. Well, right now, America isn't loving Israel very much, and as a result of that, we're not very secure either. Trains derailing, parts of airplanes falling out of the sky. Our big leftist blue cities are like the wild, wild west. The federal government borrowing another $1 trillion every 100 days. The borders are wide open. We've got 10 million illegal immigrants in this country and 2 million of what's called special interest aliens. Suspicious people from terrorist countries who were released into our country anyway with a hearing date that they will never show up for. Can everybody say sleeper cell? Last month, the FBI arrested 18-year-old Alexander Mercurio, Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, who had been radicalized by ISIS-K and was plotting to kill hundreds and hundreds of Christians in the 22 churches in Coeur d'Alene with bombs and explosives. Aren't you glad we got a security team here at Fox River? No security for this nation. Anti-Semitism in America now, the likes of which hasn't been seen in this country since World War II. Folks, I've been to the concentration camps. I've been to Dachau. I've been to Sachsenhausen. I was in the gas chambers at Auschwitz, and you can still feel the demonic spirit there that murdered 6 million people. And I hate to tell you, it's exactly the same demonic spirit that's sweeping across this country right now. Rabbis in the Northeast telling Jewish students to stay away from Ivy League schools because it's not safe. Jews all over America afraid to leave their houses and their apartments because they don't think it's safe anymore. This is happening in the United States of America. The Hitler Youth and the college protests yelling out gas the Jews and back to the ovens. Just this past Tuesday was International Holocaust Remembrance Day. And at a special memorial service at Auschwitz concentration camp in Poland, the pro-Palestinian protesters even showed up there and were yelling and screaming that the Jews were the Nazis and the fascists, spitting on the graves of 6 million people who were killed with the Holocaust. My God, people, you talk about despicable. That's what we're dealing with. For 80 years, everybody and his brother wondered, how in the world could a country like Germany that is so educated and so cultured and so technologically advanced end up gassing and incinerating 6 million people? Now we know because we're seeing it in our own country. And the shame of it is, where's the church today? For years and years and years, the Christian church in America was one of the greatest friends that the nation of Israel and the Jewish people had. But today we've got churches all over this country flying the Palestinian flag and teaching this nonsense claptrap that Jesus was a Palestinian. So at the time when the nation of Israel and the Jewish people need the Christian church in America the most, the church in America is going pro-Palestinian, which means pro-Hamas and pro-Nazi. And folks, we got to realize what's really going on in this country right now. isn't just an attack against the Jews. It's not just an attack against Israel and the Jewish people. This is really an attack against America and the West. And how do we know that? Last week in New York City, protesters put a Palestinian flag and a kippa and stickers that say Free Palestine on a statue of George Washington, the father of our country. They also put a Palestinian flag on a monument to the 107th Infantry Division from World War I and spray painted at the bottom, Free Palestine. Yeah, like I'm so sure the good old 107th was fighting to free Palestine back in 1914. See the symbolism? See the attack? It's America and the way our country was founded. Last month, a library in Amherst, Massachusetts hosted something called Free Palestine Drag Queen Story Hour for the little kids. This is part of what it looked like.
If you're a drag queen and you know it and you really want to show it, you're a drag queen and you know it, shout.
Teaching little kids to be good little Muslim terrorists. Drag queens, why don't you go to real Palestine and see if Hamas will honor your pronouns there? And the people who are protesting right now, supposedly for Palestine, are exactly the same people who protested at the Women's March 2017, exactly the same people that show up for every LGBTQ rights protest in March, exactly the same people who did the BLM riots in the summer of 2020. It's all anti-Americanism. It just so happens now it's wrapped in a Palestinian flag. So instead of from the river to the sea, Palestine will soon be free, what it really is from sea to shining sea, America will soon be free of everything that makes us America. And how do we know that? Look at all the protesters and all the demonstrations that desecrate and tear down American flags. And thank God for all the people in this country who are standing up to protect them. American flags are being desecrated by the Hitler Youth and protests all over America, because that's really what these protests are really all about. University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill, protesters took down the American flag and replaced it with the Palestinian flag. Till last Friday, May the 3rd, when Chancellor Lee Roberts showed up with the cops, took down the Palestinian flag and put the American flag back up again. But then when the Chancellor and the cops left, the protesters started taking the American flag down again to put up the Palestinian flag again. But right before they could get it all the way to the ground, what do you know? A bunch of frat bros from the Pi Kappa Phi fraternity rushed over, grabbed that flag away from the protesters and held onto that flag and surrounded it and protected it from the barbarians. And the rope was all knotted up so they couldn't raise that flag up the flagpole again, but they still held on to it, protecting it and surrounding it so that that flag would not touch the ground. And what do you know? A lot of the guys in that fraternity were Jewish. So one of them grabbed an Israeli flag and started waving it around the American flag. And you see that picture there, the American flag next to the Israeli flag. And what is that showing us? America bless in Israel and God bless in America in return. And of course, the frat boys caught seven kinds of hell for doing it. See the video. All the Marxists and communists screaming and cussing at them, calling them Nazis, throwing garbage at them, rocks, water bottles, spraying them with water and God knows what else. But they held onto that flag and never let go for over an hour. Because no matter how tired their arms got, no matter how much they hurt, in spite of all the hell they went through, they absolutely were not going to surrender that flag. One of the frat boys, Isaac Rosenberg, said this: I'm not an expert and I don't know all the issues in the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, but it upset me that my country's flag was disrespected and replaced by another, because so many people in our history fought and died for that flag. So me and my frat brothers ran over to hold it up, and we stood there for over an hour defending it, because no matter what other people did to us, we were not going to let that flag touch the ground. We'd die for that flag because it represents everything our country stands for. So we weren't going anywhere. They were going to get that flag from me over my dead body. And people, listen to me. What's going on in these protests right now, taking down the American flag and putting up another flag in its place, is the very definition of what happens on a battlefield. Because in case you don't know it, my fellow Americans, we're at war. And it's not just a war against Israel and the Jewish people. It's a war against America and God and the Bible and Christianity and the United States Constitution and freedom and liberty and gender and marriage and family and children. And all the Judeo-Christian principles this country was founded on. And the real enemy is not the college students, because most of those students couldn't find their own butt with both hands. The real enemy is the devil, who comes to steal and kill and destroy every single thing that's godly and holy and righteous and good and decent about America. Everything that that flag stands for. And the two sides in this war couldn't be more clear. It's God or the devil. It's good or evil. It's light or darkness. It's freedom or slavery. It's being civilized or being a barbarian. And we have no idea how hard this war is going to get, especially in an election year. So lock and load, people. And remember, just exactly what Isaac Rosenberg said. You don't have to be an expert. You don't know, have to know all the issues about Israel and Palestine. You just need to know that our country right now, we are this close to losing something very precious. And if we lose it, we are never, ever going to get it back. And you need to remember, this is the United States of America, the greatest, richest, freest, most powerful, most Christian nation in the history of the whole wide world, raised up by God to spread the gospel and shine the light of freedom all over the planet. You need to remember, that is the flag of our country, not that one. That one is about freedom, not that one. That is one nation under God, not that one. That is liberty and justice for all, not that one. So no matter what, no matter what kind of grief or flack or guff you have to take, no matter what kind of hell you may have to go through, no matter how tired you may get holding up that flag, no matter how tired some of you are right now holding on to that, you do not let it go. You will not surrender this country to the enemy. You will not let this flag touch the ground. Amen. Look at those frat boys holding on to that flag. Don't tell me it's already all over. Don't tell me nobody in the next generation gets it. Don't tell me the darkness has already overcome all the light. Don't tell me it's too late. Don't tell me there's not a remnant out there. Don't tell me there are not 7,000 in Israel that haven't bowed the knee to Baal or drank the leftist woke Kool-Aid. And after those frat boys got that pull rope untangled, they raised that American flag back up on the pole and then did that. The question is this morning, how many people sitting in this church right now, listening to this sermon, are willing to do exactly what those frat boys did for that flag and everything it stands for? This war really is about Israel and the Jewish people. And the decision you have to make is very clear. You can either bless Israel and be blessed, or you can curse Israel and be cursed. I've already made my decision. I am going to stand with Israel, and I'm going to support the Jewish people 100,000%. Wherever I can, however I can, as long as I can, as hard as I can. Until Jesus calls me home, because that is exactly what the Bible tells me to do. But even more than that, this war is about America. See, it's not just about their country, it's about your country. It's not just about their government, it's about your government and your family and your children and your rights and your freedoms. And the exact same devil, the exact same evil, despicable people that are trying to destroy Israel are the exact same evil, despicable people that are trying to destroy you. And today, you've got to make a decision of what you're going to do about it. So how many people sitting in this church right now, listen to this sermon, are willing to do what those frat boys did and say, Kevin, I'm going to stand up. I'm going to stand up and defend that flag and everything it stands for. How many people sitting in this church right now are willing to do that? Say, Kevin, I am going to do whatever I can, whenever I can, however I can, as much as I can, as long as I can, because I am not surrendering this country to barbarians, and I will not let that flag touch the ground. They will take that flag away from me and everything it stands for over my dead body. Okay, then, let's pray. Lord, we are in a country right now that is absolutely rocked. And Lord, the vast majority, it comes because of our treatment of Israel. We just thank you, Lord, for that nation. We know it's flawed. We know it's very sinful. They are going to pay for it, Lord, in the great tribulation. They're not getting away with anything. Just pray, Lord, that you would open so many people's eyes and realize, Lord, we do need to be supporting them. And I pray, Lord, even more for the United States of America, this incredible gift, Lord, that you have given us here, that it would not fall. Lord, I just ask and pray that you would raise up more and more people like those fraternity brothers who are willing to take a stand, not understanding everything, but understanding the most important things, that the freedom and the liberty that you have given us is so precious and it is worth fighting for and worth standing up for. Lord, evil does not go away on its own. We got to make it go away. And I pray that you just help us do that by your strength and your power and your leading. All these things we ask in your name and thank you. Amen. We're going to close today with a song called God Bless America. And this song, if you read the words, is actually a prayer that God really would bless America. And nobody in the whole wide world ever did that song better than Kate Smith.
With great pleasure in presenting to you the star of our program, Miss Kate Smith.
Hello, everybody. It is my happy privilege to introduce a new song, God Bless America.